It's a lot of fun, you know. It's kind of like making a good DX contact, except you're doing it with VHF.
Yeah, and one thing about that is if you wanted to, you could drive up and meet them.
You were talking about the sideband. The furthest contact that I've made on a 2 meter sideband from here to the house is I talked with a fellow up in Fredericksburg, Virginia. And I thought that was a pretty good shot, you know, from here to Fredericksburg. And of course, there's not really any dirt between us as far as that goes. You know, if you look at the map between my house and straight up to Fredericksburg, it's kind of right in the valley, so to speak. You got mountains on either side, but I did make it to Fredericksburg. That's as far as I've made it on 2 meters.
J-4LZI. Some of you I know, and some of you I don't know if you know or not, but y'all talking about 2 meter sideband. Here you probably already know as long as you've been in it, too. But the first in June, before the big field day, the weekend prior to that's VHF UHF contest. And a lot of people go up to these mountain tops. They do FM simplex, and they do single sideband on VHF and UHF. And there's a time, a weekend, sometime in September when that's done. That's two of them. And there's one or two other times, but right offhand, I can't remember when those are. I think it's in January. One of them is, but I'm not sure. But during those periods of times, there's a lot of people using sideband on VHF and UHF and doing, as you say, simplex on FM as well. Y'all carry on. I'm just letting you know that. KI4LZI.
Thanks for that information. Do appreciate it, and I'm sure that there's some folks out there listening that did not know that. So thanks for the information. Go ahead, Patrick.
Thanks for that information, Andy. But yeah, I already knew about them. There's a couple of them scattered out through the year. Colin, he keeps me up to speed on those because he's got a real good setup for doing it. That's his thing. He likes doing that. But it's definitely interesting, and even as a technician, you can get out there and try it. You don't have to have more radios for 2 meter single sideband. That would be awesome. But until they do, we can use the HF radios and just use them on 2 meter.
Patrick, I used to have a 2 meter all band, and a friend of mine came over to the house, and he was looking at it, and he said, "I've been wanting one of those," and he said, "You want to sell it?" And I said, "Well, no," but I said, "What's the matter with your radio?" He said, "Well, my radio is broke, but I've been wanting one to do sideband," and he said, "That's the first one I've seen," and I said, "Well, here, just take it home with you," and I unplugged it, and it was hooked up and everything. He tried it out before he carried it home with him, but I did have one, but I don't have any more other than the 2000 or the 706. So I've got a couple of radios that's got everything in it, and then I've got some monobanders. I kind of like the monobanders every once in a while. But you get one that's all band, all mode, you know, that'll do upper and lower sideband, AM, FM, and that sort of thing. They get kind of expensive in a hurry, so I don't know. I wouldn't mind having a monobander that was all mode on each band, but I'll stick with what I got, I guess.
You know me, I'm radio poor, and most of the ones I have will do 2 meter single sideband, and they're all mode, all band. So I like those kind of radios. And then I also like to have my 2 meter 440 over here. I think it's a good idea not to have everything in one basket. But have the capability. I like the capability of the radios.
And you know, I'm with you. I don't like having all my eggs in one basket. That's what I told my oldest boy, Anthony, when he bought that 2000. He said, "I'm gonna sell everything else, Daddy." And I said, "Well, yeah, I wouldn't." And he said, "Well, why not?" And I said, "Well, if say you're using your 2000 to do HF and 2 meter and 70 centimeters, and I said the HF goes out, and you send it off to have it repaired, I said you're out of everything." And I said, "If your 440 goes out and you send it off to be repaired, I said you still don't have anything." I said, "If a 2 meter goes out and you send it off." He said, "Well," he said, "I just quit talking on those bands for a while until something else broke, and then I'd send it off." I said, "Well, I don't want to have to quit talking, so I guess I'll keep one of each."
You never know when a storm's going to roll through that you might need that communication.
I don't need another hurricane to come 400 miles inland.
No, do not. We do need a little bit of rain, but we don't need that kind of rain either.
Yes, in the Blue Ridge 2 meter net, but KO4HKX, Mr. Patrick up there in Penrose. Well, you know, Patrick, we laugh and cut up a lot, but these radios that we have and the other folks out there in Radio Land have got have really helped out a whole bunch of people in the last. Over the last month or so, a little over a month now, but they've helped a lot of folks. There's a lot that we didn't get to help that are no longer with us, but we did not know that this was going to come around the way it did, and you know, that's all we can do is try to our best to be prepared for about anything that comes at us.
That's why, since I got in the hobby, I don't think of some sort anyway.
And I'm not going to try. I'm going to do my best not to be without one. Had a ham call me yesterday and tell me that he had moved into an HOA and he was going to have to sell all his stuff, and it was kind of broke my heart. But, you know, he said they won't let him have an antenna. So he's still got his HTs and stuff like that, but he's going to have to sell most of his stuff.
4HKX. Well, on that there, if he's allowed to put up a satellite dish, one of the little DirecTV dishes, he can build him a slot antenna out of that, and then he can still have 2 meter 440, and it's disguised as a TV antenna.
There's all kinds of different antennas you can build, but I don't know what kind of HOA he lives in. He did not specify. Here at the house, I've got antennas inside and outside. I've got two different types of J-poles in my ham shack. I've got a copper J-pole, and I use some plastic pipe clamps to mount those, or it. And then I've got a ladder line J-pole antenna that I built, and it's hanging on the wall. And I've got a dipole that's a little short. Well, I've got a 440 dipole and a 2 meter dipole. Both of those are here in the radio room in the ham shack. And I thought about putting up at least a 10 meter. I can get a 10 meter wire inside this room without a whole lot of trouble. Some of those don't work as well as they could if they were outside. But in a pinch, at least I can still talk on one of my radios.
That's for sure. Well, I got 10 meter, 12 meter, and I think it's 15 meter capabilities there in the tool truck. I don't use them, but I don't have an antenna tuned for them. I can listen, but that's about all I do is listen to them during the day. So, and then talk on the 2 meter. I'll wear it out.
As long as you're using the repeaters and the frequencies that we got on 2 meters, we won't lose them. But if they get real quiet, you don't ever know what the FCC's liable to do. They liable to come in and say, hey, you don't need this because it's not ever being used.
What concerns me about the 220 band, because you don't see many radios being built and you don't hear anything on it. So kind of concerned about it.
There's some 220 nets, and I've got 220 here at the house, and I enjoy it. It's the other 2 meter. It's real close to 2 meter, but it's a good band. I enjoy it. It's a whole lot of fun. And like you say, there's not a whole lot of folks on it. So if I'm out in the barn and Joy's in here, I take my little HT that's got 220 on it, or one of them, and take it out there. She turn the 220 on in here. She's not bothered with a radio other than the repeater identifying itself, and we could go to Simplex and do away with that even. But if she needs me, she can call me on that radio.
Roger that. There's lots of things you can do with these radios that people don't really think about. They'll just spend a little time and try to work the problem. It's pretty amazing what you can do with them.
KI4LZI with a comment again. I got is, I'm assuming you was talking about Ray while ago you was, who's in, because I remember I asked you a while back about him, and I wondered about that, and I would explain that. You was talking about other things you can do with these radios. Now, I'm just going to look at the time of year. This is the last week in October, and the first week in November is bear season. You tune down to the 156 megahertz range to the marine frequency. But you got to have a good antenna because they're operating on Simplex. As y'all was talking earlier about Simplex. These bear hunters up here around me are all here this week and next week, running all around here with their dogs as their communication frequencies. But it's via Simplex. So I just thought I'd mention that. Go ahead, KI4LZI.
They also use 6 meters. Yeah, a lot of people don't believe that, but they do. They use 6 meters up there for that as well. But thanks for that information. Like I said, if a lot of folks don't realize how involved bear hunting can be and what kind of communications them guys use, and they have been down on 2 meters.
KI4LZI, unfortunately, I'm aware of that. You know Mandel, WR4XM, at 147.195, when he first put it up, had to be turned off, taken off the air for about a month, some years back, because some of them wanted to use it illegally. And he didn't have the time to track them down, and he had to leave it off for a month to ever get them to get off of it. So you're right, and they've been here too. I'm aware of that as well. But at this time here, though, I listen a lot of them going on around up here. And they've been known to use those red dot, blue dot frequencies at 150, 160, 250. Many years ago, I heard them up here one Saturday with dogs running all around chasing after a bear up here on that frequency. So, with these waves we got now, they will receive a lot of those frequencies where they are. So, y'all was talking about Simplex. They're using Simplex. KI4LZI.
But thanks for coming in and letting everybody know about that. Because a lot of the new hams don't know that. And folks, they are using it illegally in most cases. Not all cases, but a lot of the time they're using these frequencies illegally. Go ahead there, Patrick.
I hear them up here on 2 meters. And I actually have some friends that are bear hunters, and have talked to them about not being on those frequencies because they could get in trouble for it, and they had no idea that they could get in trouble for it. So I have informed them, and they've moved off, and they are using GMRS radios now. So at least those guys are not on there causing problems.
But, that's a good thing to do. You let them know that what's going on, and if they're doing something illegal and they don't mean to be, you're telling them what they're doing wrong, and they say, well, okay, I shouldn't do this, and they quit. You know, that's my hat's off to them. But it's those that just keep on and don't care. That's the one that bugs me most of the time.
WCA,
KI4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Can I get your name, sir?
Yes, I'm sorry about that. My name is Michael, and I'm in West Asheville.
Welcome aboard there, Michael, up there in West Asheville, KI4WCA. We're in the rag chew portion of the net with KO4HKX, Mr. Patrick, up there in Penrose. And got talking about a couple of different items, along the line with different radios and that sort of thing. And had some other folks come in with some other comments. Did you have a comment for us?
Well, the latest festivities, as it were, here, I wanted to focus a bit more on the simplex side. I'd already upgraded my feed line so I could use HTs with the outside antenna to good effect, but now that the AC power's back on and I can run something larger, I whipped out a 9100 that I had in storage. I used just a few hours and it overheated like crazy, so I bought options for it, the filters and stuff, and I put all the options in. While I was in there, I built a cooling duct for the cooling fan, and now it runs the way it should. It's wonderful. And what's cool about it is it's an all-mode, it's a shack-in-the-box, 10 meters all the way up through 440. I don't have the 1.2 gigahertz module for it. I'm not interested in that band. But it's really nice for doing simplex and for finding new repeaters, too. It's really a wonderful radio for 2 meters and 440. Just fantastic. So I've been playing with this and really enjoying the heck out of it. Had a great rag chew tonight with a guy on 70 centimeters, and he was down in Gastonia, and I used a repeater that was down near him on Crowder's Mountain, which I get into real well, which amazes me. So that's the only comment I have is that, having something that'll do single sideband, even if you just have vertical antennas, could be an advantage when it hits the fan, as it were. And that's all I've got to say. And one other thing. I'm sorry. GMRS is really, really useful. I got my license for that. Had some HTs, and when we lost cell phone service here in Asheville, it was a great way to keep in touch with my wife and daughter because they just don't want to be hams. KI4WCA, I'll be listening.
Fantastic. I'm glad that you got your GMRS license. My wife is a ham. I got my license, and my oldest son got his. And my wife was logging for me one night, and I was talking to some guys on HF, and she said, if I can't talk to them, I'm not going to log anymore. And I looked at her, and I said, well, get your license, and she did. So she doesn't get on the radio quite as much as she used to. But there are a lot of ladies out there that do have their license, and I'm glad they are. And it's always a good thing. But you and Patrick have probably may have talked some. You being up there in West Asheville, he was on the radio up there. I'll let him tell you about that up KO4HKX up there in Penrose when the hurricane hit. Go ahead, Patrick.
HKX. Yeah, Michael was in net control here on the 610 for almost 2 weeks. Helping out, doing the same thing they were doing up on the Mount Mitchell, and then I would pass information to Mount Mitchell when I needed to, and vice versa. So it worked out really well. And just to let you know, we're here every night at 9 o'clock. We have a net on here with a different net controller, and we'll welcome you back anytime you can come, we'd love to have you.
Years ago, when I first got my license, like in 07, I used to get on here regularly. When my only shack was a ICOM 2200 at the top of the stairs with 25 feet to the base of a homemade ground plane. That was my station back in the early days. Over.
Well, if it works, it's a good thing. It's all that matters is it works and gets out.
Absolutely. I've come a long way since then. Well, look, I'm going to say 73 because I got to do some cooking. Got some meat I need to cook before it turns. So I'll say 73 to the group, and I will be listening in a little bit, but I got to put this meat in the oven, so I'll be gone for at least 5 minutes. 73 to all, and if I hear anything cool, I'll chime in again. KI4WCA, West Asheville.
As Patrick said, come back as often as you can. We'd love to have you each and every night if you can make it. Different day controller here each night. But Patrick, you know, we never know what's going to come out of the woodworks, do we?
Oh, and I doubled with you there to start with, and I apologize for that. But you never know who's coming out of the woodworks, and everybody's welcome. And the more we hear, the better. I like hearing new call signs come in here because you just never know what's going to happen around here anymore.
Young man, no doubt about it. But hang on a minute, Patrick. Let me put out another call, see if there's any more check. Call KI4DOS.
AOS. From the Alaska Whiskey. F4O Desert Richard Grable. No crapping, no round table. Good to hear you tonight there, brother.
For DOS on the Blue Ridge 2 meter net. I'd like to say good evening to Brother Richard, K4ROW, over there in Greenville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Mr. Richard. Hope you are doing well there, young man. Patrick, you know, we've got a good net tonight, and it's still going. There's still people coming in, so we'll keep her going for a little bit more. What do you think?
Well, sure, Gary. I got a few more minutes. And that's what we're here for, you know, is to encourage the use of the hobby. And over the last month, this hobby has really paid dividends to our local communities. And it's been a wonderful thing to be a part of.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's amazing what has been done over the radio and with the help of the radio and the communications as they've gone on with different folks and different companies and just all sorts of things. It has really been an amazing thing to watch. And there again, you know, we never know what's going to come down the road tomorrow, so we might as well try to be prepared.
That. Like I said, spending 2 weeks up there at Anchor Baptist Church doing the net control for them and for our general area was just an unbelievable experience for me. I know everybody's been telling me thank you for doing it and appreciative of it and all that, but like I've said many times, and anybody that's ever asked me, it's not just me, it's a community. And it's just been blessed to be a part of the community that is willing to come together and help their fellow man in time of need.
As they did, and it's amazing, and it's really uplifting when you see this happen. You know, you go through life every day, and you see all the negative, and then all of a sudden all this positive comes out of the negative. And you say, well, yeah, I didn't realize that would happen. It's kind of strange sometimes.
Roger that. It's easy to focus on the negative part of life in general. So it was definitely inspiring to see so much compassion for a fellow man and quit worrying about which side of the fence they're on or which political polarization it is. It's just man helping man.
And that's the way That's the way I think it should be. And of course, that's a lot of people say I've got stinking thinkings, but that's okay. With me, I don't care. It works for me, and that's all that matters.
After that, but it was just, I don't know, it was inspiring from my point of view to watch some of it and to be a part of it, even though it was a tiny little part. And I went in there today to deliver some more donations from out of my tool route. So, and just watching what's still going on around there is still moving in and out, moving in and out. Not coming in as fast as it was now. Things are kind of dying off, but there's still stuff going out. I mean, left and right is just handing it out and getting it out to the people that need it. And that's going to be going on for a good while. I know this sounds really, really bad. I was thinking about it over the weekend. You know, it'll be Christmas time here before we know it. And having to figure out how these people are going to get Christmas for their kids. And, you know, trying to help out with that. So everybody's already looking into how we're going to do that. Put that together in Thanksgiving, too. You know, providing a meal for as many of them as we can. All that stuff is already in the works, and it's just, it's not going to end anytime soon.
End anytime soon. You know, there's a lot of folks that were without power, you know, may have had a little bit of damage or no damage or whatnot. I had a little bit of damage, but nothing major, nothing that I couldn't, you know, deal with. Here at the house, and some of my neighbors, you know, they lost their entire home with the trees falling on them and that sort of thing. But we're getting back to a little more normal pace here. You know, the trees are getting up out of the roads, and the power lines are getting back up, and the internet's getting back up, and everything's getting back to running the way it was, to a point. But there's still a whole bunch of folks that live in these outlying areas that are very fortunate that they can even get in and out of their own place, you know, where they live now. The folks who do the road work and the power lines and some of the unsung heroes, we appreciate them as well. You know, a lot of people don't think about them, but hey, they're getting out there, and they're really working hard to get everything back up and running and opening the roads back up and that sort of thing. That means a lot.
There's lots of people out there doing their little part, and it's all making a big part. So it's just, I don't know, like I said, it's amazing to see and then just to watch. And there's still, last I heard, 12,000 people up in here in western North Carolina that still don't have power, and they're probably not going to get power back until sometime next year. And they got to build a house, and there's people without houses. So, I mean, that's 12,000 households. Now, you think just three or four people in each house, do the math on that, how many people that are living through this winter up here with no power, no heat, like you're living in your comfort. They're using buddy heaters and sleeping bags and in tents and, you know, and they're worried about where they're going to get their next meal at instead of, can I flip the light switch and the power come on, or turn my computer on and get on the internet.
You know, it's like you say, Patrick, it's going to go on for a while yet, and it's not going to end overnight just because everything else seems to be going back to normal. There's still a lot of folks out there that are still hurting, and there's a lot of folks out there still putting in a lot of effort, you know, volunteering their time and their efforts and that sort of thing, and that means a lot.
is Gary. But Gary, I am going to, I'm going to bail out of here on you. Call it a night. I got some things I need to do before bedtime, and then 5 o'clock comes early. This is one of my late days to get out of here, so I'm going to try to get a move on. But it's been a pleasure talking to you tonight, and was good to be able to hear you on Simplex. That was awesome being able to do that. So look forward to trying that again and see if we can't find out when Miss Shannon's going to do that again. I really enjoyed it. But I appreciate you calling that tonight, and look forward to talking to you tomorrow. KO4HKX. And Gary, I'll turn it back over to you.
You and Miss Elise have a wonderful evening, what's left of it, and sleep fast. That's what I used to tell Joy when I stayed up later than I should have and had to get up early. I said, I'm bored to death. I said, so I can get more rest. So, you take care, get you some rest, and be safe tomorrow. Hopefully, I'll talk to you tomorrow. You take care. Send me straight, my friend. Do we have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2 Meter Net? Call KI4DOS.
KI4DOS. KI4WCA, West Asheville. I could actually hear Patrick on reverse. He was noisy, but I could hear him. I wonder what power he was using. That's my only comment. Over.
KO4HK. Running 50 watts on my Omni because I was on the Simplex net earlier today, so I still hadn't turned it back down.
All right, very good. Well, I can run 100 on this radio, but I'd rather not. But, Justin, now we know we could actually talk to each other with no repeater if we had to. Over.
Roger that. That's good to know. That's what we're practicing the Simplex net down here for. Like I said, we're welcome to come in here, try it. Going to find out if we're going to start it every Tuesday night or if we're going to do it once a month, what Miss Shannon wants to do. So we'll come back often. We'll try to find out for you. That way you can find out who else you can talk to.
Very good. I really want to focus on Simplex because after what's happened, you know, there are a lot of local machines that went down here in Asheville. And I thought, you know, a more stout Simplex station would be really, really good. So there you go. Now I got to buy a big backup power supply. 73, Patrick, thank you for answering my question.
Yes, 73 to you too, sir, and not a problem. And I'm going to turn it back over to you, Gary, KO4HKX.
I'm glad you and Michael got together on that. And, Michael, I enjoy playing around with Simplex. There's another repeater here in the area. It's Tryon repeater. What is that? I want to say 145330. Yeah. That's the Tryon repeater, and they have a Simplex net. They've had several over there just to see who all they could talk to in that area. That's Tryon, Columbus area, upstate over there towards Campobello and that part of upper South Carolina. But some of the folks live on up there in a little more towards Asheville, Hendersonville area. So we got a couple of Simplex nets that are going around, and hopefully we'll get some more going and just see how many folks we can talk to when we need to on Simplex.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's critical in emergencies. It really is. This radio is actually a poor choice for emergency radio because it draws over 3 amps just on receive, so you need a giant power supply to run it. But the 2730A mobile radio also puts out 50 watts. That's a pretty good dose. And with a decent antenna and feed line, that gets out pretty well. Well, I'll say 73 for now. I'll be listening. KI4WCA, Michael in West Asheville.
Take care. Again, I appreciate you coming in there and talking with us this evening. And hopefully we'll be able to get together on the Simplex one of these days. That would be cool if I could get all the way to West Asheville, which I don't think I can because there's too much dirt between us. But anyway, you take care, 73. Do we have additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. that's about going to wrap it up. Give me a minute and I'll submit my net report. Got a grand total of 45 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night, and yours truly will be calling again tomorrow night, and I will have a swap net. And I might even have some new items. I don't know yet. I was supposed to get an email today or tomorrow. So we'll have to wait and see if I get the email. And if we do, we'll have some new items for the swap net. But y'all take care. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.
4JBQ, KK4JBQ, this is KI4LZI.
LZI, good evening, Andy.
You ever take a look to over the internet at some of those, that Sears catalog of 1962 and see those helicrafters?
Ray, that has escaped me. What was the date on that?
Well, it right here directly in front of me, but it was either the winter or summer catalog of 1962. Sears catalog that was in. Because my sister got it, because that was the time, let's see, 19... Yeah, that's right. My parents got married, and she picked that up out there at the flea market, and I went through it, and that's when I found that.
Well, I've made a note of it, 1962. I'll do a little search, probably come up with some way to get there. How have you been, Andy?
I'm doing okay right now. I just, like I said, sometime when you have some spare moment, take a look at those helicrafters. You'll see how it was in the days in the 60s and before. But all with the separate transmitters and receivers and pretty much everything was HF, pretty much.
In 62, you know, something that, let's see, don't know quite how to tell you how to get to what I'm going to suggest. Well, there is a podcast. Maybe I'll have to send you a link to it, which part of what they discuss on a weekly basis is the history of amateur radio. And there's been so many changes since the early days. These are the kind of things that you'd be interested in, I'm sure. And one of them is the equipment, but the other is, of course, license classes and just hundreds of things. I mean, I'm just flummoxed because there's so many things to bring up that are interesting about the way this hobby has developed over time. Now, just recently, the fellow who was doing that became Silent Key. But I have some of these recorded, and I think they are archived on the net someplace where you could listen to them. I don't know, a podcast might be something you're not familiar with or you don't care for. I'm not sure. What do you think?
I listen to other podcasts too on there. Some of them, of all places, I found them out here on HF on shortwave radio. Then I turn around, either I listen to them here on HF shortwave or I listen to them online. So I do some podcasts, so to speak, online stuff.
Cool. Yeah. Anyhow, I was trying to get something fixed on my computer. I get myself into trouble because I want to have one operating upstairs and one operating downstairs. Keeping those two synced together has become a major bit of work. The last time the power was lost here during the storm, a little while back, one of the computers died, so I've had to replace that, and getting another one up and running the same way the original was running has proven to be quite a task. Anytime you lose a machine, if it's not itself completely backed up, you know, and that's a very technical thing. That's not a topic I want to get into, but just to bring, if it were possible, just take the old one that, you know, an electrical surge killed it, you know. Take the old one out and put the new one in and go to, let's say you've got some network-attached storage where the image of what was on that machine is stored and backed up every day. Well, to restore that is a simple command to restore it to a brand new machine. There might be a little cleanup to do, but, you know, pretty much that gets it done. Now, if you don't do it that way, which I don't, if you don't do it that way, you are in trouble, just to say it plainly. You've got to build it back like you build a house, piece by piece, stick by stick. KK4JBQ.
KI4LCI. Well, like I told you before, my knowledge on a lot of this, I can go so far, like I said about the podcast. I hear someone here on HF say, like WRMI 5950, someone say there what the internet site is. I go to the internet site. I happen to find that their podcast is on that website. Then I have the option. I can hear them here or on the internet, as you say, a podcast. But like with that to happen before when the Briar site went down, you know. My knowledge is just so far. Then after that, that's it.
Well, I think this, I'm pretty sure the one I'm thinking about, well, there's two. Could be one of two of them. Anyway, one podcast I should mention to you because you should be listening to it from time to time is put out by the ARRL. It's ARRL Audio News. It comes out weekly, either Friday or Saturday is when they post it. And if you have if you have something on your computer that retrieves podcasts, that would be a good thing to do this. What I've got running on my machine is automatic, so it's when it's released on Friday in this case, it comes to the machine. It's waiting for me whenever I've got enough time to listen to it. That's mighty convenient. Mighty convenient. Let's see. Yeah. Anyway, the audio news is I don't know. I can't tell from right here how long it might be. That might be. Let me ask if you've got a question about it, and I'll go to it and be able to talk about better.
For LZI, do you remember?
AJ, yeah. Haven't heard him on this repeater in a long time. Anyway, these are not very long. Anywhere from 10 minutes to 15 minutes. I mean, that's not very long at all. That might not be the one I'm thinking about. But it's a good one if you're not listening to the ARRL audio news podcast. It's one to check out. KK4JBQ.
Hell's the guy. Well, before he left this air and went back to Northwest permanently, for a little while he used to air that like it airs on 1860 on that 160 meter station up in Missouri. He used to put that out on this repeater. He did some before he left down here permanently. He did for a little while, so that's when I first found out about this, was before I knew a whole lot too about ARRL, of course. And a time or two I heard it when the conditions were just right on that 1860 station that's up in Missouri that transmits on AM late Saturday night into early Sunday morning. But being that it was 160, and you got to have one heck of an antenna for that, and they wasn't running, say, well, I don't know exactly, remember now how much power they was running, but I know it ain't nothing like what commercial stations on medium wave AM broadcast run, 50,000 watts. I could hear every now and then, but not consistent. I couldn't. That's when I found out, actually, about that.
Yeah, I hadn't heard KB0, KBJ. Isn't that that call sign sticks in your head. There's a rhythm to it, or a certain lyrical sound to it. Another podcast, and I did find out the name of it, is called This Week in Amateur Radio. It's published on Saturdays. And again, if you've got an application on your computer that goes out and fetches, and they do this automatically, they go out and fetch these things when they're available. It's all kind of automatic. You got it set up to do it right. It's kind of automatic. You don't have to think about it. You just open up the app, and there they are waiting for you. Anyway, This Week in Amateur Radio is where the history of amateur radio is. Best way I know to get to it is through a podcast app. What kind of machine, what kind of computer did you run, Andy?
KI4LZI. My setup's far from the new stuff, after all. And what I've got here is just barely enough to get me by. But like I said before, another thing, of course, we was talking earlier about the weather. And I really hate, because their site's been down ever since that weather come through about a month ago. That archive.org, about the old music and all, they still ain't got that site back up right. It went down due to the time of the storm, and I check it every now and then, and it's still not up.
Yeah, those things, it takes time to put that sort of thing together. It's like making a shirt. I'm imagining it because I've never made a shirt. But to cut all the pieces out just right and then sew all the pieces together just right, it's a similar thing. And more work than I have ever been involved in. And then here comes along a storm and just tears into it and messes it all to pieces. And when you build it back, it's not exactly going to be the same. Not exactly. not in every respect, it won't be the same. Unless it's backed up. You know, that is a good precaution that a lot of people take with especially important websites. But still, you have to, if you lost machinery, you know, if you lost the backup, well, then you're back in major trouble again. But building it back up from scratch is not something anyone would really want to do. So you keep a good backup, maybe several backups, and one of which might not have been involved in whatever catastrophe took it down. So is the way of keeping a keeping the internet going. Anyhow, let's see. I might be able to. I don't know this for sure, but in your instance, it might be interesting for you to just listen to that particular part, like a clip out of it. And I might be able to do that. Just take that one portion, because these people, when they put this together, it has, the people who put it on are all over the country, for one thing, and they contribute to the show. If one's in New York and another one is in Tennessee and another one is in Iowa, they contribute over the internet their little piece of it, right? And then somebody puts that all together into one file, and that's what they distribute. It's pretty professionally handled. And what I might be able to do is take the one recording and manage to cut that piece out about the history, is what I'm saying, and then just send that to you. Or maybe I can put it on my machine and give you a link to my machine, and you could just pick it up off my machine. You know, kind of do that. I'll look into doing that, because I think it would be very interesting. For instance, just recently, there was a good history on how call signs were developed. You know, in the beginning, I don't know if you were aware of this, but hams could make up their own call signs. There was no central, I mean, the FCC is not, you know, had not been realized yet. It wasn't a federal thing that it is. So when radio came into being, hardly anybody understood it. And it was a little bit similar to magic to the general population. So amateurs who, well, they don't know where you can call that at the time. But anyway, people who had radios and liked working with them, building them and so forth, when they got on the air and talked to one another, they decided they would have a call sign. You know, sort of in a way like CB operators do these days, or have done for many years. They make up their own handles. Well, it developed over the years into something that eventually the FCC would organize into call areas. You know, ours is the call area 4, you know. And I'm just being given a reminder here. Yeah, that's something a computer can do for you. If you can't remember to do something every day, it can just burst into your conversation, you know, like it just did, and remind you to do something that's important. I don't know what part of that you could hear, but anyhow, that was a computer doing that. So I'll look into doing that, to making just a little short clip of one or two episodes of that to give you a taste of what that's like. I think because you're interested in history, that would be, You'd enjoy that. KK4JPQ.
Okay, I done been ordered. I got to go take care of my blood sugar and my insulin, and that's true, but... Yeah, even that brown book, it described some of that. They would have either a number or just three letters. Three letters. Prior to 1912, a lot of people done like that, that you're talking about that. I'll take and call you sometime, probably on the phone sometime, and we'll discuss certain things that we don't need to put out on the air if everybody's here. And I'll get some of that from you somehow or another, but I do got to go take my insulin. I was just wondering about that other because there should be paper copies of that. Well, paper copies of what was that on the internet somewhere, and I think you'll find that very interesting since you spent a short time there with Sears years and years ago. I look at that page ever so often and look at how things are different. So, KK4JBQ, KI4LZI.